With the book of Ruth, with her story, we're almost all the way through. This is the second to last message that we'll have on Ruth, and we have seen so much. This time we repeated a little bit of last week's reading, just because it helps us to make sense of what's happening. We didn't start in the middle of a sentence or anything like that. And today, to start, as we think about Ruth, Boaz, the relationships that are happening there and what they're doing, I want you to think about boundaries. Boundaries. Because we recognize that every relationship we have, every time we get together with another person, every relationship we have involves some kind of boundaries, some kind of rules or expectations that tell us what's appropriate, what's appropriate behavior. What's inappropriate behavior? What can I expect you to do for me, and what can you expect me to do for you? Every relationship that you have with your parents, with friends, with family, with children, with people at work, with everyone, every relationship you have comes with its own set of boundaries and expectations. Every relationship has its own set of rules. And these rules, these boundaries, they aren't usually written out for us, right? But they're there just as much as if they were. And by and large, having boundaries and expectations to govern our relationships is a good thing, right? Yeah, I want you to think about this, and would you agree with me on that, that boundaries, expectations in our relationships are a good thing? I certainly appreciate, for example, the fact that when I come to work here during the week, everyone here knows how to act, right? Nobody does strange, inappropriate things. I'm thankful for that. Everyone knows what's expected, what's the right thing to do. Everyone knows how to act around me. I know how to act around them. That's a blessing for all of us. We know pretty well what the boundaries are. Another example is that when you're married, or even while you're dating in any sort of relationship like that, sooner or later, you and your partner, you figure out what to expect from one another. You learn what your partner needs from you. You learn when they need you close and when they need some space. You learn how to read your partner's moods and what those things mean and how to respond in turn. You might think that growing closer in relationships, personal relationships like that, you might think that growing closer in relationships is about getting rid of boundaries that govern your time together, but that's actually not true. It's just the opposite. People grow closer in relationships when those boundaries are respected and honored. People grow closer in relationships as they learn how to identify and negotiate and respect one another's boundaries, because that leads to trust, and that trust is what leads to real emotional intimacy. And we grow closer in relationships with one another as we respect boundaries. And in fact, a great deal of relationship counseling, you may have been through this yourself or know people who have, a great deal of relationship counseling is about helping couples learn to talk about those boundaries, because they're so often, like I said, they're not written down. And so often it's about helping couples learn to communicate those boundaries and then to negotiate, to talk it through when they disagree on what those boundaries should be. We also have relationships in our lives where boundaries, expectations are a little more clearly spelled out, don't we? All of us, when we go to work, if we go to work with go to work for someone else, typically those relationships are pretty clear, pretty cut and dry. Everything's written down. You know what to do to keep your boss happy. You know what to avoid. You know it will make your boss unhappy if you do that, because it's all spelled out in a job description or maybe an employment contract. Or another example, whenever you sign a legal contract with someone, what you're doing is you're setting out some boundaries, some rules, some expectations to govern your relationship together. And then there's a whole set of relationships we have that are just kind of culturally understood, right? What you do when you meet a police officer on the street, for example, that's a cultural thing. You know the boundaries, you know the expectations, how to act around that person. And so these rules, these boundaries, and these expectations are all around us. And all of our relationships have rules. All of our relationships have boundaries and expectations. And what exactly the boundaries and expectations are, that changes from person to person. It depends on who you are. It depends on the nature of the relationship and how close you are to a person. But all of our relationships have rules. And for the most part, that's a good thing, we can say. You can think for a moment and realize that many of the social problems we have in our country, and anywhere really, These things happen when someone doesn't respect appropriate boundaries. Just as an example, we've seen so many news reports, articles recently about sexual assault, where powerful people have abused others, sometimes even starting decades in the past. And what's happening there is that someone is using their position to ignore appropriate boundaries. Whenever people are hurt by others, someone is ignoring boundaries. And so these boundaries in our relationships are a good thing. But there's a danger that comes with boundaries. There is a danger that comes with having rules and expectations that guide our time and our lives, our relationships together. When our relationships are governed by boundaries and expectations, here's the danger. The danger is that we become tempted to do only what those boundaries require us to do. The temptation, the danger is that we're tempted to do the bare minimum that's required to satisfy the rules in all of our relationships. And we all do this sometimes. We've all, at different times, done just enough to satisfy the rules, right? Maybe you've had a bad day at work before. You probably have, where you go to work and you don't do your best. You do just enough. Just enough to avoid the write-up, the reprimand. Just enough to avoid the eye of your boss lying on you for too long. Or you've been in the office before, and they're passing around an envelope. Maybe someone's retiring, someone's having a party for whatever, and they hand the envelope to you to buy a gift for this person, and you really don't want to, but you do this quick mental math, and you figure out just how little you can put in to avoid looking like a cheapskate, right? What's the bare minimum I can get away with? Or you've had a friend or a family member ask you for help and you really don't want to help. Maybe it's the work they're doing. Maybe you feel like you didn't have the time, but you feel like you have to. And so you show up anyway and you do kind of a half-hearted job until the rules are satisfied. And then you leave and you let your friend, your family member keep struggling with their problems while you move on. Or maybe you and your spouse, you take care of chores, things like that around the home. There's some days you just don't feel like it, and so you don't do it, and you hope your spouse will just pick up the slack. There's times we all do just enough. I have to say, too, as a pastor, we do this with our lives of faith, too. Many questions that people ask me, many things that people say to me are really about this question. How much is really enough? People say, well, I don't really go to church, but I like to pray enough. Pray a lot. That's okay, right? They're asking what's enough. How much do I really need to church? Which commandments do I really need to be careful about and which ones are okay to fudge on? We want to know what's enough. And this is true. Whenever people have rules, whenever people have boundaries and expectations in our lives, we will look for the easiest way to keep those rules. We'll look for the easiest way to stay within the boundaries and to meet those expectations. We'll do just enough. And we have to recognize that when we do that, when we do just enough, we're showing a lack of faith in God. We're putting our priorities above His. When we do just enough, we're showing a lack of love for the people around us. We're putting our own wants before the needs of others. Well, in our reading today, Boaz does something different. Today we see how Boaz's response to Ruth, it goes far beyond the letter of the law. It goes far beyond the bare minimum. He does more than just enough. What's happened so far, just to recap really briefly, because we've heard this story several times already, Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, they have been living in Bethlehem. Ruth is a foreigner. Naomi has moved back to her hometown, and they're both widows. They're both widows and they don't have children, so they've got nobody to look out for them. They're both on the bottom rung of the social ladder of that day. Ruth and Boaz, they need help. They need help. And so Boaz has been kind to Ruth and Naomi so far. And Ruth knows she wants to remarry. Ruth wants a husband. Naomi, her mother-in-law, has come up with this plan where she goes to Boaz to ask him to marry her. That's what we saw last week, how Ruth asked Boaz to marry her. That was in verse 9 when Ruth said to Boaz, "Now spread the corner of your garment over me." Now, that was a marriage proposal. In that culture, it meant take me into your home, into your protection. In context, marry me is what she says. Well, Boaz says yes. Boaz says yes. And today we find out just what that means for Boaz, just what that means for him. The key statement today comes in verse 12 of our reading. After Boaz says yes to Ruth, he says, "I'm willing to marry you, but there is one thing in the way." And this is what Boaz says. He says, "Although it's true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family. There is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, then good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. And we have to remember here what Boaz is talking about, because this is one of those cultural details we may not get if we're not familiar with the story. Boaz is a redeemer within his family. It's part of his job to help preserve the family inheritance. And last week we talked about how this worked by marrying the widow Ruth and taking her into his home. Boaz would be doing his duty as a family redeemer. He would be making sure that Ruth and the property really that belonged to the family through her dead husband, Ruth's former husband, he would be making sure that property remained in the family, and he would be doing his duty as this family redeemer. But here we actually find out that doing this duty specifically, that was someone else's job. Boaz says, it's true, I'm a guardian redeemer of our family, but there's another one who's more closely related than I. And what that means is that this other guy should have done this already. It's someone else's task. In other words, it's really responsibility for this other man. Boaz is responsible for the family in a general way, yes, but this specific job, you can say, this specific thing to take care of Ruth herself, that is this other man's responsibility. Taking care of Ruth is not something that's actually required of Boaz. He could have done his duty simply by making sure this other man knew Ruth was around. He could have done his duty, but simply by making sure this other man would take care of Ruth. Boaz doesn't need to take this on himself. That's what the law said. But Boaz goes beyond the letter of the law here. Boaz goes beyond the ordinary rules and expectations for people in that day. And Boaz is willing to love Ruth. He's willing to care for her for both of their lives. Boaz is doing more than the bare minimum here. He's going beyond the letter of the law. And Boaz's action here is important because when Boaz does something for Ruth here that goes beyond the bare minimum, when Boaz goes beyond that letter of the law, he's really showing a form of grace to her. Boaz's action here is pointing us to the attitude of God. You see, God's relationship too. God's relationship with his people has rules, has expectations and boundaries, just like the relationships we have with one another. And that's good for us because it makes it clear to us where we stand. It makes it clear to us what God expects from us. But at the same time, we recognize that we pretty regularly step outside of God's expectations for us. We step outside of his boundaries. We fail to meet his expectations. This happened from the very beginning. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God lived with Adam and Eve there in the garden. He visited them. They lived in relationship, and they had one boundary for Adam and Eve. Don't eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know how that story went. It didn't last too long. Adam and Eve stepped outside that boundary. When God freed the people of Israel from Egypt, and they stood assembled at Mount Sinai where they went to meet their God, Moses spoke God's law to the people, the Ten Commandments and other commandments, and the people then agreed to the rules, the commandments, the boundaries, and the expectations, and then almost immediately they broke them. While they were still assembled at the foot of the mountain, Moses is taking a little bit too long up at the top of the mountain speaking to God, and so the people make an idol. They make a golden calf, and they begin to worship this idol at the foot of the mountain with the presence of God above them. And you kind of want to think, how dumb could they be? But that's what they did. And then over and over again through the whole Bible, the whole story of Scripture, the story is God's people turning away from the Lord. God's people would continually step outside the boundaries which God had set up for their protection. God's people would continually fall short of his expectations for what it meant to be truly human, the way that he designed them to live. From Adam and Eve onward, we should all be thankful that God goes beyond the letter of the law in his dealings with us, because according to the letter of the law, we don't deserve any of it. We don't deserve the blessings that God gives. We turn away from him. We break his covenant that he has made with us. We make ourselves something less than truly human by refusing to live within the pattern he has given us, by running away from his will. If God would act according to the letter of the law, he would not bless us. He would not love us. He would not call us his own because we have forsaken all these things by turning away from him. But the good news for us is that God does not act according to the letter of the law. God acts with mercy and grace so that when we turn away from him, he chases after us. When we hurt ourselves and others through our own sinful, messed up actions, God acts to heal us and others. When we reject him and all of his goodness, God continues to love each one of us. He continues to love each one of us, and he loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to show us who he is. He sent Jesus to die on the cross and to rise again so that you and I would be forgiven, so that you and I would be made right with God, our Father in heaven. Truly, God goes beyond the letter of the law. Instead of condemnation, he gives us grace. Instead of letting us turn away from him, he pursues us. And when Boaz, in our story, agrees to Ruth's proposal, when Boaz agrees to love her and care for her and to take Ruth as his own, even though Boaz has no obligation to do all these things, Boaz is showing the same attitude that God has for us when he goes beyond the letter of the law to grace. And so for us today, too, we can go beyond the letter of the law in our own relationships, too. Through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we can do more than the bare minimum it takes to satisfy the rules, to keep people happy at the minimum level. We want to go beyond the letter of the law because that's what our Lord does for us. And what really motivates us to go beyond this letter of the law is, in fact, love. Love for our neighbor and the love that God shows for us. After all, the real point of God's law, all of God's laws, is love. Is love. When the Pharisees asked Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, the Pharisees asked Jesus to tell them what was the greatest of God's commandments, Jesus, instead of giving them just one, Jesus summed up all of them by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says all the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. Indeed, we discover that all of God's laws, they're not just rules. They're not just boundaries and expectations as if God just wants to make us live according to some abstract standard. All of God's laws are about teaching us what it means to love, what it means to love him, and what it means to love one another. And so let me encourage you in your own lives, with your family, your friends, your coworkers, and neighbors, go beyond the letter of all these laws that govern our relationships with one another. When someone steps outside a boundary, you know when that happens, don't condemn them, but forgive them. When someone fails to meet an expectation, don't reject them, but offer grace. When someone breaks the rules, before you respond, ask yourself, how would I want people to react to me if I had done that? Love your neighbor as yourself. And I have to say, it's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing for us to love people like God does. In fact, we can't love people like God does. God can go beyond the letter of the law to give grace in every situation. That's what he does. And he can do that because he's God. But as humans, we don't have the same bottomless well of grace. We can't simply give 100% grace in every situation. And if we were, in fact, to try that, if we were to allow a person to break every relationship rule, if we were to allow a person to transgress every boundary and ignore every expectation, that would not be good for either us or them. That becomes an abusive relationship very quickly. And so practically speaking, because we are living in this fallen world of sin, we have to learn to balance accountability on one hand with grace on the other. And that's not easy, and you know this, that's not easy, whether you are, for example, a parent learning to discipline a child with love, or whether you're learning to live with your spouse, that's a lifelong process, by the way, or whatever relationship you're thinking of, we have to learn to balance grace and accountability in our own actions, and we all struggle with this. If you do struggle with that, I can say, talk to someone. Talk to another Christian, a mature Christian whom you know, who does this well. Seek guidance. You can talk to me. You can talk to whomever you think can help you because we're the people of God. We can't just be rules people. We need to be better than that. We need to give grace. So we can't give grace like God does, but as the people of God, we can go beyond the letter of the law in our relationships. We can forgive. We can let old hurts go. We can reach out to those family members who don't make it easy to be reached out to. And as we show grace and love within our families, within our circle of friends, within our neighborhoods, our hope is that these people would see in us the love of God reflected. Our prayer is that grace and love would begin the process of healing relationships and uniting us to one another. Amen.